truths from the tabernacle. Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to behold wonderful truths. Lord, the level and the revelation just keeps going deeper and deeper. Lord, help our spirits to catch up. Help our spirits to catch up with what Your Word has revealed to us. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. All right, Exodus 25. We're going to start there in just a moment. I want you to write this title down. This is our fifth session in this series on hidden truths from the tabernacle. And tonight's title in particular, the tabernacle's position and transport. So you want to write that down. The tabernacle's position and transport. We're going to be looking at how the tabernacle was positioned according to the compass. We're going to take a review of the furniture, the positioning of the furniture, and all of these things concerning its transport when it was taken apart and moved was very specific according to the Word of God. And all of this has some interesting eternal truths that we can understand. So we've already looked at the tabernacle structure and the furniture. And we understand that by studying the tabernacle's structure and furniture, we find new lessons concerning our redemption in Christ. We understand that the tabernacle gives us a pattern for worship. In other words, there's only one gate. We've been through that before. And you come in and there's the altar of sacrifice. And all of this has revelation for us. Now, in this session, we're going to examine the position and the transport. I want to give you the outline before I even get started, because sometimes I think it helps you to see where we're going. So let me give you four main points to write down. Roman numeral 1, we're going to talk about the tabernacle's furniture and the position of the furniture. Most of that's going to be somewhat of a review, but I think it's important to focus kind of on the position aspect. So Roman numeral 1, the tabernacle's furniture and the position of the furniture. Roman numeral 2, we're going to be talking tonight about the tabernacle's compass position. The compass position, that is north, south, east, and west. Because every time it was set up, it had to be set up according to a certain compass position. Roman numeral 3, we're going to be talking about the tabernacle's position within the camp. In other words, when they were encamped and when all the tribes had set up their tents and so forth, the tabernacle was at a certain position within the camp. So Roman numeral 3, the tabernacle's position within the camp. And then finally, Roman numeral 4, we're going to look at the tabernacle's position during transport. In other words, when it was being moved from one location to the other, again, God is very specific about how that's to be done, all of which has some hidden truths and lessons that we can draw from. Now, I've given you a handout that we're going to be looking at toward the end of the session on the transport, and I'll have to be covering that verbally for the sake of the audio tape and future radio broadcasts, but I think we can do that. All right, let's look at the first area, the tabernacle's furniture and the position. Go with me to verses 8 and 9. We're in Exodus 25. Exodus 25, look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee." Now, we've looked at this verse, but if this verse is not marked in your Bible, you ought to mark that in verse 9. "According to all that I show thee after the pattern." Everybody say the pattern. Everybody say revelation knowledge. In other words, you know, Moses, he didn't just decide, well, I think we'll put a piece over there and we'll get a decorator and see which one goes where. God said, I've got a pattern. It's very specific. Moses, you got to follow it. Not only the construction of it, but when you begin to set it up, the position of it, make sure that you follow the pattern. So I just wanted to hit that by way of review, that the furniture, the very boards themselves were built according to revelation knowledge, which tells us something. You need to be building your life according to revelation knowledge. Hello. You need to be positioning yourself according to revelation knowledge. You can't expect the glory of God and the power of God to manifest when you're doing your own thing. You've got to be doing what God says do. And so he says in verse 9, "According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." Now, I want to review seven stations regarding the furniture. So I'm going to give you seven things to just quickly write down. Again, this is somewhat review. And if you'd like to have the original handout that shows the picture of the tabernacle in front of you while I go through this, I think that might help you. Because we're going to start out at the gate again. But here's the first, what I might call, station or position we want to talk about. Number one, the gate is the place of entry. The place of entry. And we're going to be talking about this again a little bit in just a little bit. But it was always to be towards the east. And the sun rises in the east. And so the light shines right there on the gate and the rays point the way to the ark. And so you're always going to be following the light. We're going to be get into that. But the first station, the gate, is the place of entry. It always had to be facing the east. We've already talked about that. Number two, the bronze altar is the place of reconciliation. The bronze altar is the place of reconciliation. So, you know, what we're doing is we're reviewing. Here you come to the gate. The gate has to be to the east. That is the place of entry. One gate, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You come on into the second station or position. The bronze altar is the place of reconciliation. So when you come in, the first thing that has to happen is the blood. Everybody say the blood. And that's that altar, the bronze altar of sacrifice. All right, number three, the laver is the place of cleansing. The laver or the basin is the place of cleansing. So you'll see just beyond that altar of sacrifice where there's fire depicted on the handout there, there's this basin or laver that was water. Remember we talked about that, made from the looking glasses of the women that brought them out of Egypt. And when the priest would look in, he had to see himself and all of that. So the laver is the place of cleansing. So you've got an entry point, you've got reconciliation, you've got cleansing. And by the way, that cleansing was ongoing. Remember that? It wasn't just a one-time washing. Number four, the lampstand is the place of light. The lampstand is the place of light. So you begin to understand there's a positioning here. In other words, you can't go to the laver or the basin unless you first pass by what? The altar of sacrifice. And all of this is very significant regarding their position. You can't really have light. Come on now, you can't have light in your life unless you've had the blood applied. You can't have the revelation of God unless you've had a cleansing. A lot of people say, oh, I'd like to just skip the blood and just skip that cleansing part. I just want to go on into revelation knowledge. Well, that's what occultism is involved in. They want to bypass God's entry point and still have revelation knowledge. You see, and they have the familiar spirits instead of the Holy Spirit. So number four, the lampstand is the place of light. Number five, the table of showbread is the place of provision. The table of showbread is the place of provision. And remember, we talked about this. The lampstand sheds forth light. And how many of you know the Holy Ghost will show you where your provision's at? Amen. And there's two kinds of provision here, A and B. There's spiritual provision, which is number one. That is that bread that was on the table represents the bread of heaven. Jesus said, I am the true manna. I am the bread from heaven, not as Moses gave, but I will give you food to feed upon. But there's also a natural provision. Manna was actually a natural substance. So how many of you realize God's interested in giving you natural provision as well as spiritual provision? And so there's the table of showbread is the place of provision. All right, number six, the sixth position or station that I think is significant is the altar of incense. It is the place of prayer. The altar of incense is the place of prayer. Now notice your prayers have to be empowered by the light of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your prayers also have to be a part of that feeding process of the bread. That's all right there in the holy place. And so all of that is very significant. It's important that you go to the lampstand, then you go to the table of showbread, then you go to your time of prayer. Instead of just rushing into prayer, you need to be having the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. So all of the positioning is very important. The altar of incense is the place of prayer. And number seven, the last station or position that I think is significant to talk about, the ark and the mercy seat. The ark, remember that is the box in there that had the Ten Commandments and other items in there. And then the lid to that box was called the mercy seat. The ark and the mercy seat is the place of fellowship and communion. Fellowship and communion. That's where God's voice actually spoke, well, to Moses, number one, and also to the high priest when he would go in once a year. Now, folks, this is so cool. Don't miss this. And the ones that will be listening just by audio tape, they're going to have to really imagine this. But I want you to take your pen or pencil and draw a straight line, just lightly draw a straight line from the gate, a straight line all the way to the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, you're going to go through the gate, through the altar of sacrifice, through the laver. Those are in a straight line. You're going to go straight to now the prayer, the altar of incense, to the ark. Make a straight line there. Now, go back and make a line from the lampstand, across to the table of showbread. And you'll see that there's a cross depicted. You see a cross depicted by the very position of the furniture. There's a straight line from the gate, straight line to the Ark of the Covenant, and then there's a straight line that goes from the lampstand over to the table of showbread. So even in the very positioning of the furniture, there is a cross depicted. Hallelujah! Jesus Christ is our sacrifice and provision. Somebody say amen. Also, we did not cover this, but whenever they would sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, that was once a year, they would sprinkle it in the fashion of a cross. They had to go from side to side and top to bottom. Again, you see a cross depicted by the very blood. All right, let's move on to Roman numeral 2 that I gave you on your outline, and that is the tabernacle's compass position. We've already mentioned this in brief as far as the gate. I'll give you the references. We won't turn there for the sake of time tonight, but you may want to jot these down. Exodus 26, begin with verse 18, and then Exodus 27, beginning with verse 9. That's Exodus 26, beginning with verse 18, and Exodus 27, beginning with verse 9. It tells very specifically the positioning of the tabernacle when it was set up. I want to give you five things to write down about the compass position that will give us some insight here. Number one, and I've mentioned this already, but I want to say it again specifically for the compass emphasis. Number one, every time the tabernacle was set up, it was placed with the gate facing the east. Every time the tabernacle was set up, it was placed with the gate facing the east. Now, you know, a compass had not been invented at that time, so we use that term freely, but you're not going to find that in the Bible. You say, well, how did Moses know how to set it? Well, that's very easy. Just which way is the sun rising and which way does the sun set? And so that's probably what they were keying off of. But they would have to set it up every time. Everybody say every time. In other words, they couldn't just go by the lay of the land, what seemed to be best. Every time when they set this structure up, the gate had to be facing the east. Now, don't miss this. You had, number two, write this down. The tabernacle's position required you to follow the light. I'm going to explain that. The tabernacle's position required you to follow the light. Now picture this. If the gate is facing the east and we start at the gate, right, then we are walking in what direction? I know it's Wednesday night, but you can figure this out. If you're at the east end and you're walking straight, you're going west. And so you are going from east to west, which is the course of the sun. The light is moving and you need to follow the light. Do you see any kind of revelation there? How many of you know we need to follow the light? All through our life, you know, it's not just standing at the entry point or the gate. I came to the altar and I accepted Jesus one time. You need to be pressing in. You need to be following the light all through your life. But that's so interesting that the sun's path from east to west is basically the direction that you're walking in. Now, some other interesting insights regarding the compass position. Number three, here's the third point I want to share with you. The entrance to the Garden of Eden was on the east side. Now, some of you will remember that from one of our previous sessions, but it bears repeating. The entrance to the Garden of Eden was on the east side of the garden. I'll give you a reference for that if you want a proof text. That's Genesis 3:24. Genesis 3:24. Now, I will tell you this. I don't fully understand the compass positioning of east and west and so forth, other than the sun. I think that that's probably the most obvious. But I'm sure there's other insights. If you get some, I'd love to hear them. But it's interesting, the entrance to the Garden of Eden was on the east side. Number four, when Cain murdered his brother, Cain journeyed east from the presence of the Lord. Now, don't let that confuse you, because he journeyed east. He didn't go west. Now, we said the light always moves what? From east to west. And there's a scripture that says when Cain departed from the presence of the Lord, in other words, he turned his back on God, it said that he journeyed east. He didn't go the direction of the sun. He went away. All right, that's Genesis 4:16, if you'd like a reference on that, Genesis 4:16. So really, as you study the scriptures, moving east is away from God. Moving west is toward God. Just an interesting little study that you can do sometime. Moving east is away from God. Moving west is moving toward God. And number five, the last one I want to give you, is this. When you historically, and I'm looking at a historical account of if you look at Paul's journeys, and you see the little circles on the maps, it's obvious the message of the gospel has predominantly moved west. The spread of the gospel has predominantly, historically, moved west. Paul tried to go east, and it says the Holy Spirit stopped him. He tried to go into Asia. And for whatever purposes, he ended up going west. To the point, that doesn't mean that people in the east weren't saved. They were, but the major movements of the Holy Spirit have been west, to the point that we now in our mentality, and when you study history, you talk about the western mentality and the eastern mentality. And you look at the progression, it moved across the Mediterranean into Turkey and Greece, and you come over here to Europe, and then it crossed the ocean. And of course, the United States of America was founded for Christian purposes by Christian people. That's a historical fact that they like to leave out of the books these days. And now we've seen revival, tremendous revival in Korea. You look at Korea, what's happened in Korea through Dr. Cho and others. And China's experiencing revival. And if you draw a circle, it's headed right back towards, it's making a circle right back towards Jerusalem. And the timing of it all and the return of Jesus is very interesting, that the gospel historically has moved from east to west. And that's interesting regarding the compass. But the position of the tabernacle is significant. We always want to follow the what? The light. Everybody say the light. All right, Roman numeral 3. The third area that we want to look at tonight regarding position is the tabernacle's position within the camp. The tabernacle's position within the camp. Go with me to Numbers chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2. And just a couple of verses that will get you started on this in your own time of study. In Numbers chapter 2, it begins to tell us, again, some of the compass positions, what we would call compass positions, north, south, east, and west. And whenever the tabernacle was set up around the structure, it was very specific where the tribes were to be. So, you know, you couldn't just say, hey, you know, I'm of the tribe of Judah, but I want to go here with my best friend over there. You had to stay with your tribe. Everybody say, stay with your tribe. Oh, glory, there's a lesson there. You got to stay with your tribe. Find out what tribe you're in and stay with your tribe. And then you had to camp in certain positions around the structure. All right, Numbers 2, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. They had a flag or a standard of some sort, with the sign of their father's house, about the tabernacle. So you need to underline that. Around or about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. In other words, when they set up camp, they're going to do it around the tabernacle. Everybody say it. Around. In other words, you weren't over here and the tabernacle was over there. And that's very important, that we need to make God the center of our focus. He's not on the fringe. We circle up around Him. We don't leave Him on the outside. And there's a lot of families that need that. Well, I'll work church in when I can. I'll work God in when I can. They have not camped around the tabernacle. They just visit the tabernacle once in a while. Verse 3, and on the east side towards the rising of the sun, the standard, the camp of Judah. Now, we're going to get to this in a moment, but Judah was on the east side. And one of the handouts I gave you gives the definition of every one of the tribes, which is a fascinating study to get you started. But how many of you know Judah means praise?